Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're actually going to talk about the Bedlam game at the end of the show. Didn't get a lot of that in yesterday just because of the news that broke on Sunday with Lincoln Riley. Obviously hit some of that, some more of that. Give you guys our thoughts on what happened, why it happened. What are the ramifications? Where does OU turn next? Lots of different things there with that. And then, has college football just gone crazy? Even more news from last night. That's just this shocking. Some of this stuff does not make any sense whatsoever outside of just maybe money. And, I mean, at what point do you – it's easy for us to sit here, or easy for me to sit here and say, at what point do you have enough? My gosh, I mean, it just – some of this stuff just does not make sense on what's going on. And so we'll get in – to the news of last night and the craziness that was the LSU coaching search. There's even some breaking news about that this morning that has to do with Lincoln Riley and the expectations LSU had there. Wild stuff. Weird, wild stuff. Plus, we got some high school hoops coming up tonight on Paragon TV as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. That app has everything. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, which will hit the basketball hardwood on Friday. It's got Paragon TV games tonight. All across the area, there's one last night as well. So lots of high school. We're officially kind of focusing in on basketball instead of football. It's basically 1 week left in football with the state title games on Saturday for most classes, a couple classes later on the next week. But it is it's time for hoops. It's time to kind of recalibrate the mind and get ready for basketball. And Big Elk TV, Paragon TV is going to have a ton of it leading up to the state tournament. All the way into March, which will be here before we know it. It's just amazing how fast it goes each and every year. I've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast set up on iTunes, set up on KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and hear what we had to say about certain topics. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Wonderful. Do you happen to have that pulled up with the schedule for tonight?
Yes, I do.
All right, read it off for us. Who all's playing?
Sentinel, or Eric is hosting Sentinel tonight. Hammond and Cheyenne, it's at Cheyenne. Sharon Mutual is at Leedy tonight. And Visai is visiting Canute. So those are the four sites that we'll be covering on Paragon TV. We had Merritt last night. I think they got a couple wins.
Couple wins over Hollis.
Over Hollis. So nice opening wins for the Oilers and Oilerettes. And so we got four more tonight. And then a lot on Friday. And then a lot next week.
I'd say I hold in my hand a brand new copy of the five-county bracket.
Yes.
Five-county bracket. It'll be what?
Kind of fell in my lap this morning. I was looking for something else. Like, hey, I need that.
We're going to need it for sure. And so here is we'll rehash this for sure between now and then. But it's going to be at Sentinel. And it's always Monday through Saturday with Wednesday off. And if I'm reading this bracket correctly, the number one seed on the girls' side is the Merritt Oilerettes. I don't think that's a huge surprise, considering the only other team I think that would really be in the running for that isn't playing in the tournament, which is Hammond,
right?
Because they're going to the Bertha Frank Teague. So they're going to have the JV team in the tournament, but not their varsity squad. So at that point, makes total sense to me that Merritt would be the number one seed in that girls' tournament. So Merritt and Hammond, JV, as well as Cheyenne, Raiden, and Sentinel on one side of that bracket. The other side is Canute and Leedy, and also Sweetwater and Arapahoe Butler. So that's the girls' side. Boys' side, kind of the same thing. No surprise. Arapahoe Butler, the one seed. They'll play Sweetwater. You've got Cheyenne, Raiden, and Sentinel. Now that one's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I believe Sentinel is the only team to hand the Indians a loss so far this year.
Arapaho?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up, but...
Oh, don't, you don't need to. It happened.
It did? I couldn't remember.
Last Friday. The Friday we were at Grove, I believe.
Okay, see, I was so out of it. So, wow, Sentinel beat Arapaho.
Mm-hmm. 43 to 41 or something like that.
Oh, so it was a close
one. It was
a
tight game.
Yeah.
Very tight game.
A potential rematch there in the semis.
That's right. And then on the other side.
In Sentinel's gym. Where was that game played at?
Sentinel.
Okay.
No, wait. Yeah. I think it was at Sentinel.
Okay.
So then you've got also Leedy and Merritt. Interesting to see what the Oilers, I don't think the girls are this year just because of what they did last year. They're kind of a known commodity. They're a little bit different, but pretty much known. Oilers, that's always, if they're either really good, you know what they're going to be. And if not, kind of a question mark. Just because they don't have nearly as many games as everybody else ahead of this.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Hammond and Canute down at the bottom of that bracket. So it's going to be fun. We'll keep you updated on that all through the week next week. But the five county, it's almost here already. Man, it's crazy. We just got done with football. That's what's amazing about it to me is when you play and we have to cover a few playoff games, basketball comes at you fast, man.
Yes.
last year.
Instead of a month off.
Of a month, and you get basically all of November off and have plenty of time. Now all of a sudden you play to Turkey Day, and it's like, whoa, it's basketball.
Yep.
So anyhow, it's going to be fun. Basketball season starting. All right. What in the world is going on? I mean, I'm serious. What is happening right now in college football? Just the craziness that is this, the coaching carousel. Okay, so at this point, this season, just this year, you have had Oklahoma, USC, Notre Dame, LSU, Florida, all open.
Yes. Well, the top tier teams.
Washington. Now, there's, a step down, or, those aren't all in the same category either. But then you got Washington, Washington State, TCU, Texas Tech. It has just been nuts. And, last night the reports about Brian Kelly, 15 mil, it's not that much. But still, $9.5 million for Brian Kelly to leave Notre Dame to go to LSU. I mean, in what world does it make any sense for the coach at Notre Dame to go to LSU?
Yeah, it has to be money. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a reason. But I'm with you. Why leave Notre Dame? They seem perfectly happy with, unless something internally has happened. I don't know what's going on in South Bend.
They're about to make the playoff.
Yeah. Was there some? Did he try to counter and go back to Notre Dame and say, they're offering me this, what can you give me? And they said, no.
Our resident SEC boy will text in and tell me it's about them. I thought he was going to say something else. But, I mean, there's no doubt. And here's my thing. It is money. I mean, the money that's being thrown around is craziness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this wasn't supposed to happen. Wasn't COVID supposed to make everybody not go nuts and spend all kinds of crazy money?
Has there been a sudden influx of popularity of college football as far as fans returning to stadiums, you know what I mean? And then, I don't know, smarter people than us, economists, are looking at it going, you know what, this keeps up. We're going to make this much money at this university over time.
Well,
yeah, I'm just theorizing. I have no concrete evidence that that's the case. But, I mean, I don't know. But I kind of also have another theory.
Well, I think that is the case at LSU, and here's why. Those SEC schools know that they're about to get a pay bump. Because when the TV contracts are renegotiated with Oklahoma and Texas a part of that league, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to make more money, mm-hmm. for sure. So you can kind of get it on that side of things. And here's the truth. There's a report out there today from Michael Lombardi, who was a GM of the Jets. He's a connected guy in football. He tweeted out this morning that as of Saturday night, LSU had a catered dinner set up for Sunday afternoon. Kind of, you know, a party.
Yeah.
To celebrate the naming of their new head coach, Lincoln Riley. And then he bailed and went to USC instead. It's just insane what's happening. It really is. It's just absolutely insane. And you know what? Is it COVID? Is it one of those things where everybody misread COVID as far as, okay, athletic department is going to lose a bunch of money. They're going to cut a bunch of sports, which that all those stuff's kind of happened in some places. And that's going to cause them to become more frugal in football. You know what I think? I think it's the opposite. I think they see the opportunity or see the necessity maybe even to go after as much money as possible, which means throw it at the football program to recoup it as fast as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Because you can't, if you're LSU after the COVID year, you can't have another season like you had this one. Then you've got three in a row where nobody's showing up. Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not as many in the revenue streams aren't what they were certainly in 2019 when you're winning the title. But for Brian Kelly, that was shocking, right? Leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU.
A little more shocking than Riley going to USC.
You can explain a bunch of reasons why Riley would leave Oklahoma to go to USC. There's not a bunch of them on the other side except for money.
That's about it.
And I know we're going to, LSU's won all the national titles. Yeah, I know. And those coaches got fired 18 months after they won it. Ed Orgeron, anyhow. Just craziness.
Yeah.
The craziness. And he's making $9.5 million this year. Okay, so if he does that for three, that's 27. He was making $6.5 million for the next 10. Yeah, he's out money because he would have got fired for Notre Dame.
Right. Speaking of money, and I was kind of thinking after, did you watch the press conference yesterday? Did you watch or listen to much of it?
Which
one? The OU.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to listen to that other crap.
I get it. It was a lot of damage control.
Sure.
From all three parties who spoke. By the way, Bob Stoops had me ready to run through a wall. I knew what he was doing.
Did you hear Kerry this morning?
No.
He said there's people laying flowers at the feet of Bob's statue.
Oh, they're ready to erect another statue. An interim coach statue. But Joe C. seemed a little upbeat and happy and stuff. And
he was trying to make jokes, and it's clear he's not a funny guy.
No. But he was happy. It seemed like he was in a positive, and I get they were all instructed, be positive, be happy, damage control. We got to be positive about this and move forward. But speaking of the money side of things, you mentioned the TV deal that's about to be re-upped with SEC that's going to involve OU and Texas. They're about to get a big payday. Was he thinking, man, I could get a good coach for a cheaper price and make money hand over fist in the SEC and help recoup what we've lost?
$1 million at a time? No. I mean, I understand that, and I would probably agree, at least where it looks like the search is aimed right now, the guys that seem to be toward the top of the list outside of maybe Luke Fickell, which the timing of that is off, and I don't know how that works. But, yeah, that guy's not going to make as much as Riley, more than likely.
No, not now.
But, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue versus a couple million. You know, I know what you're saying. And sure, it saves some.
Maybe
it saves all the way down through as well. So you start here with, maybe it is 4 or 5 million once you go from the head coach and then cutting assistant salaries. But here's the problem. You were already saving money anyhow. You were already saving a million or two because you weren't having to pay an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You had that and a quarterback cut, all of it wrapped into one with Riley. So
that's true.
You know, the money that you were talking about saving, it's going to go away when you have to hire those other positions because you don't have the guy that's doing all those things. But I don't know that that's, you know, surely to goodness. And listen, some of this is reasons why he left, possibly, is that if they are trying to penny pinch, does that mean it's the greatest idea going into the SEC? Most fans would say no. So are you going to get a lesser coach because you don't want to pay him money? That's never seemed to have been the OU way.
Right.
You know, Joe C. quickly shot down all the rhetoric that was out there that Riley, they weren't giving Riley what he thought he needed to go to the SEC as far whatever that entails. It could be structurally facilities. It could be analysts. You know, that's Saban's rehabilitation camp is all about having all those analysts that you know do their work, and next thing you know they're off somewhere else succeeding.
Right.
And it's funny, we just got this text in on the text line. 225-9698, by the way, is the text line. Because I was texting everybody last night that was asking me, you know, the happiest guy in the world was when Dennis Dodd was saying that Brian Kelly was going to get $15 million a year at LSU, which that number's like 9.5. But anyway, you know who the happiest guy was? It was Saban, because of what this is. Jim mentioned this yesterday. Saban has, in his contract, he has a clause that he has to be the highest paid college football coach. So he was sitting there at 9.5 million or 6 or 7 or whatever it is, thinking, oh my gosh, I just got a $6 million raise for sitting here.
Yeah. One of my other theories was with all the coaching carousel going as crazy it has been this season, is a wild theory. I have no evidence that this is a thing, but could other schools see, you know what? Sooner or later, Saban's going to retire. We need to be in position to take over that mantle as being the top dog in college football. So we need a guy. We need a coach. We're going to throw all kinds of money. It doesn't matter how much it is to get a guy on campus. Like LSU, you know, they're probably thinking, man, as soon as Saban retires, we can take that over if we have the coach. So let's throw as much as we can at Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley and see what sticks.
Yeah, I mean,
you see what I'm saying? That
makes
sense. What everybody's kind of looking around and go, hey, you know, it's going to happen. He's, what, pushing 80?
No, he's like 71.
71, okay.
So he don't look like it.
No. Apparently all that money keeps people young.
Yeah.
But that's a catch-22 there. You keep paying these guys, especially in the SEC. And it's like, well, why would I retire? They're going to keep paying these guys more and more money, then I'm going to get more and more money.
I think it's interesting – That's a decent theory, but unless you just think Dabo is Saban's replacement no matter what, which some people do believe that, but if that's not the case, then how are you, if you're LSU and you get Brian Kelly and he starts succeeding at LSU, are you 100% certain that he wouldn't be the guy that follows Saban in Alabama? Now, if I was him, I would never do that. The worst coach, the worst coaching position, maybe in the history of the game, is going to be that poor soul that has to try to take over for Nick Saban in Alabama.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Now the next guy is going to probably be in pretty good shape, but good luck to that first guy.
Right.
Trying to follow that and follow that legend and follow in those footsteps. I mean, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I just think that everybody's gone insane. And the money is just out of control. It just doesn't – listen, I mean, LSU, their highs are very, very high. And their lows are lower than any really good program should be throughout the years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the idea that LSU is some kind of, like, upper crust, top-tier program of all time in college football is insane. It's just it's insane. They won one championship – before Saban won in 03 in 55 years or whatever. But what has been proven there is when it's good, it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Now, the crash is spectacular as well. But when it's good, it's great. And you can definitely win a title there. That's been proven by both Les and Saban. And then, my God, Ed Orgeron won a title. I mean, are you kidding? But you know what always happens? The depths, and that's why, to me, I mean, LSU, it's not on par with the real big jobs in college football, because it's just the craziness of the fan base or the administration or whatever it is down there almost doesn't allow for real long-term sustained success. I mean, look at what Les did there. Les was the best coach they ever had, and they ran him out of town.
Right.
Now, a big part of that was probably Saban in Alabama, but still, I mean, that guy, it's a lot better than it was this year, right? You know what I'm saying? Or last year. I mean, look at Ed Orgeron. He won a title, and he barely, I mean, goodness. I just, that floored me when I saw that Brian Kelly was going to leave Notre Dame to go to LSU. Now, when you saw $15 million a year, that made sense. Now you see it's $9.5 million, it's like, huh? I mean, there are probably incentives there that we'll never know about, but still, it's just, it doesn't make
sense.
Maybe
just him personally, he thought or thinks, I've done all I can do here at Notre Dame. It just feels like they're right there, though.
I mean,
they beat Cincinnati. We're talking them as a 2 seed or 3 seed.
I'm not convinced they still won't get in over Cincinnati because it's Notre Dame.
Right.
It's crazy.
Maybe you're just like, yeah, I've done all I can do here. I'll move on.
Now let me ask you this:
himself and getting paid to do it. I don't know.
This isn't very popular among most OU fans, I'm sure, because of the history of Notre Dame and what they've done to Oklahoma and this and that. But are you rooting for Notre Dame now to make the playoff?
I really could care less either way. But why? What's your
because he just – I mean, how does he leave now?
Yeah, what, do you have an interim coach to – or is it just going to be real awkward?
Sounds like it's going to be Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator.
So he's gone. That's
he's not coaching.
He's not coaching wherever they go in this final game. No fanfare, farewell.
No, he's sped out of there this morning in his blue Mercedes or BMW or whatever to get out of there.
Yeah, I saw he had a players meeting at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, what player would go to that?
Yeah, I'm not going to that. We already know what you did.
You already quit me.
Bud, I got your group me at about 10 last night when you were recruiting for Notre Dame in somebody's home when the news broke you were going to LSU.
Yeah.
Awkward. You think as he was leaving that person's home, he turned around and went, hey, but go Tigers.
Yeah, right.
But go Tigers. Yeah. Maybe come down at Baton Rouge and play it for me.
How did he answer the parents' question of how long are you going to be at Notre Dame?
Yeah, 20 more seconds. It's about to break. Yeah, so here you go. Here's a longtime OU fan. Heck no to Notre Dame.
I see what you're saying. What if they get in and they go on this run?
I think it'd be awesome.
And there's Brian Kelly sitting in Baton Rouge.
Eating corn dogs down in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, going, oh, what'd I do? Could have had a natty.
I thought, wait a minute, I didn't think I could win a playoff game at Notre Dame. Turns out we can. Now I'm stuck at LSU.
They can without you.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be crazy. That'd be a story. Probably not going to happen, but that'd be a story.
It'd be like Steve Fisher. Remember him?
Mm-mm.
The basketball coach? When he took over at Michigan? And they went to the title in like 1989.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, their coach left, got fired or something.
Oh,
he took over, and he took them to the title. Don't forget to make your picks last week of the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. 3 tied at the top. Gosh, we got to figure out a tie break.
Meet at a truck stop. And
yeah, flip a coin.
Flip some coins. Odd man wins.
Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Appreciate their support all through the college football season. It's been fun. We had 78 participants in the pick 'em.
I would say that's a record.
That's definitely a record. And what did we were wondering if there would be 10 with winning records for the whole year. Right now there are 10 at 500 or better. That's pretty good guessing. Possum is at the very top right now. After 7-3 week, will he choke at the end?
No comment.
Possum, Andy Pepper, and Johnny Rep are the 3 that are atop the leaderboard. It'd be interesting to see. I wonder, I haven't done anything close to this, and we probably shouldn't say it, but is there a way where you can go in and look at what everybody picked pregame?
I don't know. I've never tried.
I haven't either.
I don't think that
if there is, we need to lock that.
Yeah. That could start some bad stuff. A lot of bad trash talking.
Go in and see what Andy picked on one game and pick the other side just to make sure there's not a tie or something like that. Probably just gave Possum an idea. He was probably never thinking like that. And now he'll be there 10:30 Saturday morning smiling, trying to figure out what everybody picked so he can maybe go the other way on a game that he's not sure about. Anyway, it's going to be fun to watch and see who wins the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. All right, as everybody knows by now, I'm sure, unless you've been out of state or under a rock or even out of state, you probably heard this, but Lincoln Riley did leave Oklahoma to go to USC. In your mind, what are a couple of the reasons and maybe the main reason why you think that he decided to pull this trigger?
Well, like we said earlier, I think money, it was a thing. But another thing is you go into the Pac-12 to a blue blood, I think, you know, and then over there on the West Coast, L.A. area, California, recruiting hotbed. I just think it's like a path of least resistance for him to have an opportunity to try to break through in a weak conference to get into playoffs, and then you never know. That's what I think.
I've always thought that too, but here's the thing.
I mean, I have a lot of theories. I mean, a lot of, you know, as Sunday just racking my brain of why. I keep going back. I keep doing it with recruiting, and I keep going back to the NIL. I wonder if he thought, man, I can go to big city LA and get some guys on campus with the promise of bigger NIL deals here in LA than I could in Norman.
Yeah, I mean,
again, a theory.
It's
been a day of theories for me.
All that was, I think it probably all ties in together a little bit. Immediately the thought was, is he scared of going to the SEC? Is that the problem? He was not on board with that. You know, with what we heard this morning, or if Michael Lombardi is right, and he was poised to take the LSU job, that blows that theory out of the water, right?
Right.
I never believed that was right, but when you got somebody of that stature, that's pretty. It's not concrete, but it's pretty good. You know what I mean? That's a guy that is connected and knows stuff. So you know that theory looks a little bit wishy-washy. I think a big part was, though, maybe not the scared of the SEC aspect as much as the you see a huge opportunity at by far and away the best program in the Pac-12. When Oregon's good, when USC isn't.
Yeah.
But if USC is good, Oregon's not that school, you know what I mean? And so it makes sense on that level to me, as far as, okay, maybe, you know, you don't get that opportunity. And with Oklahoma leaving, he had it with Oklahoma in the Big 12. He doesn't have it with Oklahoma in the SEC. Where else is that available? Oh, my gosh. USC, Southern California, in the Pac-12, and the ability to dominate that conference like nobody else has the ability to dominate it. And then, in turn, if you can do that, that also means that the likelihood of a college football playoff appearance for USC is very, very high. Especially if it expands and then the champion is guaranteed a spot. Right? I mean, you can see this coming. Like the chances that he just falls flat on his face are almost slim to none, right? With the way he's going to be able to recruit Southern California. Now I'm not telling you he's going to start some kind of Saban style run. But the chances he's out there 4 years and gets fired without making the playoff, I think, are almost zero.
You think they'll give him time?
Oh, heck yes.
Okay.
And here's a stat that I saw last week, and this makes me think it even more. Since 2000, and it starts with Stoops in 2000, right after, you know, Bobby Bowden won in 99. Since 2000, how many coaches do you think have won a national title, their first national title out of school, more than 4 years into their tenure?
Since 2000?
Since 2000.
Did Les do it?
Nope. He won quicker. Everyone wins quicker than four. That's my point.
Okay.
There's only two that didn't win quicker than 4 years. There's only two that didn't.
Oh, that did not.
That did not. Yeah. Did not.
I'm racking my brain. Dabo?
Dabo is one. Mack Brown is the other.
Mack Brown.
Every other title is either repeats, you know, a Saban. But Saban did it twice. At LSU and at Alabama. And my point is, you'll even here, he was 5 years in. And he would have had to break that mold to be able to actually win a national title. And so I think you're going to see, I mean, can't you, I can just see it taking off like a rocket ship out there, because it's been long enough between the Pete Carroll time and USC being good versus now that there's more of a hunger for it by people out there.
More of a patience?
No,
think?
Well, and ready to do everything they can to win. And I think they believe they have the guy to do it. And so, yeah, I don't see him coaching for 3 years and getting kicked out. I mean, they won four games this year, right? You know, I mean, starting at such a low point that, I mean, think if they win 10, if they go 10-2 next year, they're going to name a street after him. You know, much less start to think about firing him. And so I think the path of least resistance is an easy way to say it.
More than one person have asked me, what if he goes 7-4, 7-4, 8-3, 6-5, you know, winning seasons, but not at a blue blood caliber. How much time does he get then?
I don't know. It's one of those things that I think that is so unlikely that it's not even worth thinking about till it gets there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we've just seen programs like this. We saw it right here in 1999. Who in the world would have ever thought 2 years later it'd be 13-0 winning a national title? Nobody. And you could, they're in that same vein right now, but wait till 2 weeks from Wednesday when that recruiting class is signed that's going to turn around. You know, wait till that was the problem. One of the reasons that Oklahoma has been as consistently good as it's been over the past, you know, 15 years for sure, and since Pete Carroll left, it's been even more prevalent, is getting those guys from California that you would never get if USC was good.
Yeah.
You know? And so now, good luck getting those guys for a little bit, because it's one of those situations where they're all going to give him the benefit of the doubt because of what he did at OU. And let's be honest. I mean, he made, you know, Oklahoma is kind of the stodgy, static, older feeling program with Bob, who didn't want to get on. I mean, hell, he tweeted more last night than he did as the Sooners coach his whole tenure.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, Riley made it cool, made OU kind of a cool brand again. Now, and now the problem is for OU fans, is that means a lot of those guys went there for Lincoln Riley. So when he jumped ship, the Rats are jumping with him.
Yep.
And that's what we're starting to see. Haven't seen it completely. And there's some that won't because they wanted to go to Oklahoma because it's Oklahoma.
They committed to the school.
That's right. Not the coach.
Yeah.
But a bunch of people committed to the coach because of the fun and the coolness and all that. And those will be the ones that you don't see at OU anymore. And that brings to the short-term devastation of Oklahoma's program. Boy, it could be bad. No, I actually even heard Mark talking about if Williams declares that he's going somewhere else and is in the portal here in the next, you know, month or few weeks, does Oklahoma even go play in a bowl game? Who's going to be the quarterback? You know, who's going to be the players? Who's going to be the coaches?
Right.
You know, if the, I think everyone right now thinks that this coaching search isn't going to last very long, but what if it does? Who fills out the staff? You know, Bob certainly didn't give that aura off at all, and maybe they'll play no matter who's there and wing it and figure it out and then move on from there. But it does bring up the possibility, if things go completely south with player defections, you know, the recruiting class for 2022 doesn't make any difference. They can't play anyway. But, you know, the possibility exists. I heard, even heard Josh McQuestion yesterday say that he thought maybe upwards of 60% of the starting roster for this year wouldn't be there. That is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, but
that's nuts.
In OU's defense, you see that even with coaches who don't leave, if they don't make a New Year's Six or a playoff game or something like that, shoot, you even seen, we saw it last year with Florida, all these players opting out of the bowl game. You know what I mean? And that was my big question.
Yeah, I'm talking about for next year. I'm not talking about for the bowl game.
Okay.
I mean, the bowl game does exist for sure, yeah. But he's talking about the roster having over 60% turnover from one year to the next. That's nuts. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So who is going
to
be?
But as far as, well, that leads in to what I was going to say. As far as being a glass half full guy, I mean, what if whoever that guy is who they hire, a lot of word on Brent Venables. There's been a lot of speculation that they're already talking to him. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't seen any credible source say that's a thing. Just a lot of old players just really touting him. Let's say Tim. Well, obviously he's a defensive-minded guy. You know, so, yeah, those players that were here on Lincoln Riley's staff could be gone, but let's see how quick he can – you know, it'd have to be a quick patchwork to have a successful season next year. But, you know, you're going to get the type of players that need to run what kind of system he wants to run, whatever that system, whoever that guy is. So, but I don't know. Who do you think?
Well,
there's been lists thrown out there, speculation. Oh, for sure. It could be this guy, it could be that guy. There's always – you know, that the top candidates, I think Fickle's off the list now at Notre Dame's open. I don't even know if Fickle was on the list. But I saw it on the list and that on our rundown, and I kind of had that in mind too as early as Sunday, was who would replace him. I would want a guy that would have maybe has SEC experience.
Yeah, that's a question I had here. Does Oklahoma have to go that way? I don't know if they have to. I mean,
again, I don't think they have to. This is what I think. Well, I would want personally as an OU fan, just, you know, get a guy that, you know, like you mentioned the defensive coordinator from Georgia.
Yeah, Dan Lanning.
I mean, stuff, guys like that.
Well, okay, back to Venables, because Brent Venables, you know, in those hypothetical, hey, who would you want to follow Bob Stoops if he up and left or whatever like that?
Oh, he's always on.
Brent Venables was always the number one guy I had on that list.
Yeah.
Always, until Riley showed up, and then it was obvious that was probably the way it's going next with him there. Now, Venables doesn't have quote-unquote SEC ties, but he's been at Clemson, South Carolina. Is that close enough?
When they were good – Outside of this year, but when they were good, they were playing at it that people would look at them, man, they just look like an SEC team in the ACC.
And by the way, his defense wasn't necessarily the problem this year.
No. Look at the Georgia game. Defense did everything he could to keep him in
defense
that game.
Gave up a field goal.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, the touchdown scored was a pick six.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with it, you know. And it would certainly fit the narrative of what Joe Castiglione does. He hires coordinators and not necessarily establish head coaches. You know, that'd fit that role. Brent is, and that's only, you know, I was standoffish about that, but, you know, he hired Bob Stoops as a coordinator from Florida, and that turned out well. Got Riley on campus, advanced him. So, and Brent Venables just seems like a natural fit because of his ties here in Middle America and obviously in OU. He's from Kansas, and he's a coordinator. But the only thing that would hold me back is he's never had head coaching experience, but, you know, got to take a leap.
Neither did a bunch of them. Neither
exactly.
did Barry Switzer.
That's what I'm saying.
Neither did Bud.
Neither did a bunch of them. Yeah, exactly. So I've heard rumors of who he could bring. And I guess another question, I was like, yeah, that's great. Bring him in. Obviously, he'd be real involved in the defensive play call during a game. But who's running the offense?
Yeah,
there's been speculation of who he would bring with him.
I've seen the quarterback's coach at Clemson, who, by the way, recruited none other than Caleb Williams, and they finished second. You know?
Yeah.
Schooler, I think is his name. Brandon Schooler, maybe. Something like that. Anyway.
I've heard offensive
him or court. Jeff Lebby from Ole Miss.
Yes. Yeah, that's his name.
Would be a name that has been bandied about it, heard, you know, to, you to know come with Venables.
You know who is? I don't think he's a wide receiver. Maybe he is. That's his title.
Malcolm Kelly.
Wide receiver coach at?
He was at TCU.
Where's Joe John Finley?
He's at OU. He coaches tight ends.
He's still at OU? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He coaches tight ends at OU. He's one of the guys that was first and foremost. And you're starting to see some current players and even recruits get on the Sooners bandwagon. At first, it was everybody jumping off. Now you're starting to see different guys as the emotion kind of wears off. I think Venables would be great if it's not him. You know, there's a lot of Shane Beamer talk out there. People loved him and his time here. You know, outside of that, who knows? You know,
And Jim said it best yesterday. When the hire comes, it's going to be somebody that nobody's talking about. There's that possibility. Like, nobody was talking about him, but hey.
Yeah, that's where, the Dan Lanning comes in. A guy like that.
Yeah.
Is kind
yeah,
of
you
off,
don't see him on anybody's
radar,
list.
Yeah.
Don't you love those lists? People take that to heart.
Man, I mean, no offense, but.
Barry Trammell,
I mean,
said
listen,
that?
Lane Kiffin would be fun, and I think he's grown up a ton. But they aren't hiring. And here's the other one, Mike Leach. Man, oh, you ain't hiring Mike Leach. As much fun as it'd be and as good a coach as I think he is, come on, man. They ain't hiring Mike Leach. And they're not hiring Lane Kiffin. That's just not – has anybody paid attention for the 25 years that Joe Castiglione has been the AD at OU? Right. He's not hiring those types of guys. He's just not going to.
I think.
And by the way – you can't really sit around and gripe about his history of hiring football coaches because it's pretty damn good.
Exactly. So it's like in Joe C. we trust. You know, I kind of what I was saying when Kruger retired. I thought, whoever you go get. I mean, he went and replaced, what's his name, with Kruger.
Capel.
I thought, Capel with Kruger. I thought, man, is he too old? Is he going to have enough gas left in the tank to run the Sooner program? And he got him to a dang Final Four and perennial challengers. I mean, even up till his last year at one point, they were a top, what, five team?
Yeah.
My point is, Joe C., he has a knack for this. And whoever he hires, you know, okay, let's play it out. I don't think it's fair to whoever he hires to start ripping it apart because it wasn't on your short list.
I wonder how long do you think it's going to be till this announcement is made?
End of the week. I asked you that yesterday and I thought about it more. I think it is happening by the end of the week.
Is there really a...
Maybe even this time. Maybe next Sunday after all these championship games are done.
Is there really a Board of Regents meeting on Friday?
I have no clue.
Let's look that up.
I've heard that too. They got to approve a contract and all this stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
I heard that's why they didn't announce Brent yesterday. Was because the details haven't been ironed out, contract-wise, and then go through the
one rumor I heard is they can't make any announcement because the coach that they got or talking to is currently preparing for a championship game.
Well, then let's hope that's
well. That narrows down the list, right? That narrows it down a few, but that
Pat Jones is high on Fickell. High on Fickell.
So is Notre Dame. He's going Notre Dame.
High on Fickell.
They had success getting a Cincinnati coach the last time. They'll go after another one. It just seems like a better fit. Me too, man. I was ready to place a bet yesterday with a buddy of mine that he said it's Brent Venables. Said, man, I got a feeling it's Fickell. I wouldn't mind it, but it's Venables. It's Venables. We'll see. But I really do think I had somebody tell me OU is going to make the announcement right in the middle of the Big 12 championship game.
You know, a couple. Yeah. I was really hoping for
LSU fans would be mad again. You took the spotlight off of us again.
I don't want to do that. I was hoping it was going to come about 5:10 yesterday as everybody's listening to Lincoln Riley's lies, the Sooners announcer coach.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up here on a Tuesday. I know this, Jared. These last 2 days have been the easiest prep for this show in this show's history.
Yeah.
And it'll probably continue that way for a week or so.
Until a hire is made at OU. Then, of course, we'll have bowl games to discuss, playoff games possibly for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, tonight. Let's hit real quick. I had Bedlam, but we can't discuss Bedlam in 4 minutes. So, college football playoff ranking, the penultimate ranking is tonight.
Yeah.
How do you think what do you think the top – okay, how many teams still can make it? Six? Without just total chaos. You think there's six?
One, two, three, four, five or six, yeah.
Six. I think there's six.
Who? What six?
Georgia, Bama,
right.
Michigan.
Ah, I forgot Michigan.
Oklahoma State, Cincinnati. And Notre Dame.
Yeah, I forgot Michigan.
With that, just total chaos.
Isn't that the Big Ten way? If Ohio State's out, you just forget about it.
Yeah.
I forgot Michigan. Yeah, Michigan, definitely. Yeah, so six. Six.
How do you think it'll look? How do you think the top six will look tonight?
Let's go, well, Georgia, Bama. I will put Michigan at three. And four, Cincinnati, 5 OSU. Notre Dame six.
Six Notre Dame.
Yeah. Man, don't get mad, OSU. You win your championship game, I think you're going to be okay.
Let's say that's the next question I've got. How confident are you all Oklahoma State has to do is win, and they're in?
90%.
So over Cincinnati.
90% confident.
If, yeah,
especially if Cincinnati looks sluggish against Houston in a win. Obviously, they lose or done, but
Bama losing would guarantee OSU a spot, right? Ahead of
Notre Dame. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
How about this? What if Cincinnati lost and Alabama lost?
Okay, they're done.
Then you've got Oklahoma State.
Yep.
In Dallas.
Yes. As a two seed
as
versus
the two or the three, probably Michigan.
Versus a Michigan, which is very winnable. Yeah.
All that
very well could happen.
I mentioned that to Jim yesterday, but how crazy would it be that we've ran the scenarios for years now. Oh, be the first seed and Oklahoma can play in Dallas.
Yeah.
How ironic would it be if the first team to play in Dallas in the playoff would be Oklahoma State? I think it's got a pretty good chance of happening.
I do too.
If everybody wins, meaning Georgia wins, and everybody wins that's supposed to win.
Georgia,
how do you think
Michigan,
it looks? Yeah, how do you think the
Oklahoma State
the seeding looks?
Well, Georgia won.
Michigan would be two.
Would they?
100%. Big Ten champ is going to be two.
Not going to award an undefeated Cincinnati?
No, that's the question to me. Would Cincinnati go three or four? Would Oklahoma State's win of a Power 5 with one loss trump Cincinnati's undefeated in a group of five? And then also you kind of have the rematch of Georgia's Cincinnati from last year.
Yeah, then I'll go Georgia.
Or would you want it, or would the committee want to not feel like they're just sacrificing them up?
No, I think
for the slaughter.
No. You think if you're Cincinnati, you want another shot at Georgia?
Absolutely not. You want to be three.
But I'm saying based off of last year, you go, man, we almost had him last year.
No, good God, no. You don't want to play him in the first. You get revenge in the finals. You don't want to play him in the first round.
That's what you're saying.
Heck no.
I don't think the committee would put any higher than four in this scenario. So I'd put Georgia, Michigan, OSU, Cincinnati.
I think that's what I would hope it would be. Because that's certainly the best case scenario
if
for Oklahoma
State.
If
it's those four right there, Oklahoma State can beat two of them. Michigan and Cincinnati.
Man, can you imagine the slugfest that would be Georgia OSU?
Yeah, it'd be like
defenses.
Six to three.
And what, you know what's crazy about that?
9-6.
Three of the four teams would be first-timers. Everybody have a good Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.